Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All the characters and all of the voices and all of the personalities and all of the marvelous color and pageantry that is college football is performed entirely by one person. His name, Phil Hendry.
Well, that was very floral, wasn't it?
I'm always trying to find a new way of saying it.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Margaret Gray. I am the wife of Frank Gray, the mother of young Jason J. Delmonico. And guess what? I'm a voice.
Here we go again.
No, I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm a voice, a mother, a wife. I've worked as the guy?
Talk about Dr. Barnes.
As Dr. Barnes would say, I work my ass off, and I'm a voice. I'm a made-up.
And this is General Galen Shaw. And who's the name of me?
No, your name is James Shaw.
My name is General Galen Shaw. What's this?
Oh, this is a band called Trivium. Yeah, Trivium.
Well, what the hell's in it? We'll get to the band name in a moment here. There's Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
And Bud Dickman. General, the name of that band, it's a song, by the way, called Blind, Leading the Blind. I like that. And it's a group called Trivium, okay? Trivium, is that some sort of a...
Well, it sounds like it might be some sort of a metal or an element.
Yeah, probably.
No, I don't know whether that is that the is that the case.
Yeah, I think Trivium is the most stable of all the elements, and if you don't want it to make the atomic bomb, friend, you can't find a more. It'll blow you to hell and back and everything.
Man, you don't know nothing about that. What are you talking about?
Hey, I know all about the element.
Wait a minute. Hey, hold on. You're talking about?
He's talking about the least stable element in all of nature,
which of course would mean. Holy Christ.
That's right, an atomic bomb.
What about it, man?
That's the name of the group.
Well, the group named themselves that, Phil.
So what?
You don't think there's something to that?
What am I missing here?
They're talking about that group's name is Trivium.
They may have some kind of a connection.
A connection to a terror...
Oh, would you guys stick it where the sun would never, ever... Even
I won't be spoken to that way.
Where the sun won't even reach before you leave, Margaret. Where the sun can't even reach. Hello.
I'm leaving.
Don't leave the studio.
I'm not. I'm pacing.
All right. Welcome to the program, folks. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. And a little announcement here to everybody, both my BSPs as well as our folks that are listening here who are not Backstage Pass members. We certainly do welcome you to become a part of our Backstage Pass family, because if you do, one of the things you get is the pre-show.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry comes on. Before the show and talks into the camera.
Yeah, that's right. He talks into the camera, and he also uses a microphone. All kinds of stuff.
Yes.
All right. So thank you, bud. It's true. You got a pre-show, and what that is a little behind the scenes. So our Backstage Pass people have been included all weekend. We've had an operational change here, which has slowed things down a little bit. Not going to impact the life of our, I dare say it's not just an organization, of our movement. There you go. We have a movement.
Yeah, right there, Missouri.
This is a movement.
I'll let you another one like Donald Trump.
Right. If Trump can have a movement, this is a movement, okay?
Yeah, I'll bet it's a movement.
And so what we would like you guys to remember is that we're, you know, here for you. We're going to be on chat updating. We'll also be updating you on Twitter and on Facebook and on our homepage. And if we're slow on the uptake for a certain period of time, I hope you understand. But we will we'll be providing basic services.
That's almost like it's a city that got hit with a...
Yeah, it's like you got hit by the tsunami.
A do-nami?
Tsunami.
A tsunami. No.
Yeah, it is sort of.
Well, you put it that way, Phil.
All right, well, maybe, but no, it isn't anything near as drastic. It's that,
well, this show, you're making it sound as if we got hit by the tsunami, you know, and that the...
The tsunami, huh?
Whatever the hell, don't worry about it. It got hit by one of those, and you're just getting the basic services up and running. And there are people wandering down the street, there's dogs. If dogs run free, why not me?
Hey!
Beautiful.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what's that mean?
You never heard of the Bob Dylan song, huh?
If dogs run free, why not me?
That's right, Phil.
Yeah, you ever heard it?
No, I haven't heard it. All right, folks, and who needs to hear it?
Well, Phil, there are a lot of Bob Dylan fans out there.
I'm sure there are. On the show today, folks, I can't get into any if dogs run free, why not me? Frank Gray is going to be with us today. Margaret, is Frank at the Travelers?
Frank is at the Travelers Golf Tournament, where at the I don't know the name of it.
Travelers Golf Tournament, and it's in Connecticut.
Yes, in Cromwell, Connecticut. Jim Furyk scored the lowest round in PGA history with a 58, and Frank Gray will be there to report on that.
Also, we're going to have Jeff Dowder on the line with us to talk about browning out on Goliath the roller coaster, and I think he's got a list of roller coasters that you brown out on. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot of different roller coasters you can brown out on, but this is the one of the brown out. So funny.
I don't know.
You've got ways of saying things, Dickman, that I don't think it's never been said before. We'll have to find one of those forensic linguistics, you know, just figure the whole thing out.
All right. In the meantime, folks, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, let's go over to our traffic and talk here to, Bob. Bob Bakian. Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm good. First, I'll admit that. Let's check that out, find out what's going on. Yeah, it sounded to me like the brown sky, baby. We'll check out that will be later on in the end. Go over to the sky boy.
Hi, Bob. I'm going to the sky boy right now. I'm going to the sky baby, okay? Well, Sam, I'm going to what's that with him. I'm going to go see it. And with the sad, I'll wrap on and strip. And you strip down nudity from Sam Daddy. Let's go over to the sky baby.
Wait, sky baby, sweet tan.
History shows that a million things, and the Godzilla's there. He is the kings of the lizards. Hi, this is Chip Barkley for Chip Barkley's Barkley Chip Loungers. Those are made out of lizard skin, not the Barkley's Lounger, not the famous one. Chip Barkley's Barkley's Chip Loungers, made of lizard skin, made of Godzilla, or we like to think so anyway. You know what Blue Oyster Cult used to say? Well, something about the Reaper and not fearing it. Friend, you better fear the Reaper if you don't have one of our Barkley Chip Barkley Chaise Lounge. That is the Barkley Lounge with the chip in it. The Barkley Lounge with the chip in it. To remind of just who's sitting in it, and to like it or not. Who's sitting in me? Mr. Barkley. Well, be thankful it's not Godzilla. Chip Barkley's lizard skin chip loungers made out of lizard skin or Godzilla. Take your choice at Barkley's.
Every morning, I want my family to have the very best. And that's why I pick up Choiselmade. Choiselmade is a juice and a brine. It's made from a kind of cactus, as well as a fruit juice from the beautiful gardens of Mother Nature. Made from juices, both fermented and not, and from the psychedelic properties of the peyote itself. This is the juice of a lifetime. We juice in our family, do you? I want my kids to have the best. That's their father.
Pick up a gallon today at Roy Gibby's in the Spruce Mall. World famous Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico in Southern California. General Galen Shaw here with you. Right on, General. Thank you very much. And joining us right now is Jeff Dowder. Jeff is in... right now, Jeff is in Castaic, California at Six Flags Magic Mountain, but we were having a conversation earlier about Big Goliath roller coaster and then got into a discussion, Jeff, about the world's best roller coasters. You are a roller coaster aficionado, right?
Well, yeah, you could say that I am. I've enjoyed coasters, and I've enjoyed the coaster life for a long time. A lot of us like to consider ourselves coasties, or if a coaster, then you which is a coaster aficionado, then you do kind of look for that which is the rare thing, that which is the edifying thing.
What does that mean, the rare thing?
That's probably about the best coaster.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for the best coaster that money can buy. You're looking for that rare experience that will have you just walking, just tiptoeing right up to the edge of madness and not beyond.
Now, Jeff, this is Margaret. You know, a lot of young people love roller coasters, and I think they do fantasize that they're involved in some sort of dangerous activity, but you know for a fact you're not going to die on a roller coaster, don't you?
Well, Ms. Gray, I don't know if you've heard about it, but, you know, you can say that, you're an adult and you're all, your kids are playing about it. But you can gray out easy on a Goliath.
Now I heard about this gray out.
What is gray out?
Gray. Well, go ahead. You want to tell her?
Oh, you're the military man, General.
Graying out is something experienced by those, especially pilots engaged in a very high velocity bombing attacks, where they're dive bombing.
You used to call them dive bombers in World War II, right?
Yes, they had to be fitted with special belts that kept the diaphragm. The belt under the diaphragm so the blood would not flow out of the head.
Right. Well, you don't have that kind of luxury, General. I mean, if you're You know, you're a dive bomb and an enemy, that's one thing.
You mean the enemy?
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're dive bombing the enemy, then you're in a war, though.
Yeah, you may be in a war, but you're not going to brown it. And if I'm on Goliath and I brown out, I've lost consciousness, man. And that is worse than being flying.
Well, son, if you're going to tell me that being on Goliath on a roller coaster and browning out is worse than flying in combat during a war, I have to tell you that you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Well, General, I mean, I know you're an Army guy, but you've never had flown, have you?
I don't have to have flown. I know a great many men in the Air Force, in the Navy, and in the Marines, all of them pilots who've had these experiences.
All right, well, I mean...
Okay, I don't think we should have this discussion, Jeff. I think it goes without saying that browning out or graying out on a roller coaster, while it may be fun or weird, it's not anything close to the danger that one encounters flying combat.
Wow, you got all 60 minutes on me there for a minute.
Well, Phil is making a point, however ponderous.
However ponderous.
No, I mean, you just were all like, well, Mr. Doubter.
What I'm saying to you, Jeff, is that you're not seriously saying that, are you? That it's
saying what?
They're talking about being as dangerous as flying in the moon to the moon.
You didn't say to the moon.
I didn't say to the moon. I said in combat.
In combat.
All right.
I mean,
is that what you're saying? Yes or no?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then I rest my case.
But I am saying that when you are on Goliath, and I don't know how many people are listening in right now who've been on Goliath. That's a Six Flags Magic Mountain, and I have a list here because I did a comprehensive study of this over the course of a couple of years, which also included, Mr. Henry, as you know, I went down Viper at the wonderful world of the water, it was wild, wet, and wonderful over there, you know?
You mean Hurricane Harbor?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, there is a park called the Wet Wild Wonderment.
Yeah, Wet Wild and Wonderful.
What is Wet Wild and Wonderful? You're telling me that's a park?
Yes, sir.
It's like one of those swim parks, those splash parks.
Well, you go in your bathing suit, you go down these slides, right?
Yes, it's a water slide type park. They have a lot of them, and they're very big in the summertime.
Yeah, the one he's talking about, Wet Wild and Wonderful and Wild, is in Wild.
Yeah, it's in Wild, Texas.
Yeah. So,
what do you mean it's in Wild, Texas?
It is, man. They named it after the town. The town was named after it. Because what happened was they built it.
Yeah, they built the park, and then they built the town later.
They built the park, huh?
Yeah, they built Wild. What is it called?
It's called Wild, Wet, Wonderful, and Wild. God.
Wild, Wet, Wonderful, and Wild, and it's in Wild, Texas. And they named the town after the ride.
Yes, sir. They named the town after the ride.
Yeah, Mr. Doubter, I don't know if Mr. Henry knows you better than I do. I'd love to crawl through the phone right now and make it one of the worst days of your life. How do you feel about that?
Sir, I do not cotton very well at being threatened. I'm just simply...
All right, let's back it way off here. This is not necessary.
I don't like the guy mimicking me and acting like he's all this and a bag of whatever he thinks is in his bag, which probably ain't much.
Yeah, probably a couple of two peas.
Shut up.
All right. Margaret, take it easy.
I don't like the mouth on it.
Well,
I got a couple of peas in my bag. Is that it?
No, you said a couple of teas.
I thought you were talking about golf.
All right, we're talking here with Jeff Doubter.
He's talking about golf.
No, he's talking to you about the ride. We're talking here with Jeff Doubter from Temple City, California. All right, so we have Goliath, and you brown out on Goliath, or you gray out on Goliath. What's next?
What's next? I mean... Yeah.
What do you mean, what's next?
What's the next? You got the top 10 rides, right?
Oh, yeah, but I wouldn't call Goliath number one. I would say Goliath comes in about number two or number one, yeah. The next ride, wait a second, man. That's the Goliath ride. I do have a list of the top 10, Mr. Henry. Hold on just a minute. The next one I would say is Superman Ride of Steel. At Six Flags Darien Lake in Corfu, New York. Now, they did have to used to have Superman escapes.
Yeah, they did. When a Superman escapes, did they close it down?
Yeah, they closed it down.
Now, what is Superman? What do you call it?
Superman escapes.
It's Superman escapes. It was here at Magic Mountain.
What are these rides that they cause these people to brown out? I don't understand this.
That's the thrill. The thrill for a lot of the kids is to go through this state where you almost lose consciousness.
Well, I mean, but also you do have to give credit where credit is due, as there's a lot of us who have ridden these rides and are further pioneering it down the road for the next generation of riders.
You know, this is a grandiose fantasy you have, son, about pioneering something. I'm just talking about these roller coasters making you proud. Now, what is this thing Superman Escapes?
Yeah, Superman Escapes Superman Escapes came in at number 9 on our list of the most radical rides that have ever had been. It was built in 1999. It's in Corfu, New York.
Right, let's move through these. Number 9?
Yeah, number 9 is Son of Beast at Paramount's King's Island.
Oh, King's Island's very well known.
Oh, we used to go to King's Island, yeah.
All right, and that's in Kingsville, Ohio. That started in 2002. Then there's Superman, The Escape. That's the one I was telling you about. That's at Magic Mountain, Six Flags. That started in 1997.
Now, what about this Superman Escapes? Because I've seen it, and I refuse to get on it myself.
Yeah, it's pretty radical. You go backwards. You go up this thing, and then it releases you, and it's like you're going backwards or something. I don't really know because I haven't ridden it that much. It's okay. I'd say the brownout on it is a 0.1.
What do you mean a brownout?
I give it a brownout scale, man.
You give it a brownout scale? I'll bet you do. Jesus.
General, that is uncalled for.
Well, this guy with the brownout.
Oh, my God, man. I'll bet you do. So you're saying, in other words, if I give it the brownout scale, I'm browning my shorts?
Something like that, yes.
All right, so, and what's next?
Then the next one is Superman, The Ride of Steel, Superman Escapes, Superman Lois's Revenge, Superman...
What do you mean Lois's Revenge?
That's the ride at Berkeley Harbor, man, I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is that? What do you mean Superman Lois's Revenge?
This ride is pretty radical because it's just you fly into Lois Lane's, well, into her apartment, man, and
do you fly out?
Well, what do you think?
All right, Jeff, the smartass has ended. Let me get the straight answer. We can give everybody your website.
Okay, I'm sorry. Superman Escapes Lois Lane's Revenge has not yet been built. But it is planned for 2020. Okay. 2020.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. And then Superman goes to Rome or something. They got a bunch of them, man. I don't...
All right, Jeff Dowder, folks, has been our guest, and you can catch him online, and you got the top 10 list of roller coasters?
Right. They're all posted on my website, and you can also check out my list of the next top 10, which I guess, well, that would be 11 through 20, so that would be... So I guess the whole 20.
In other words, the top 20, not top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Jeff Dowder with us, folks, giving us that roller coaster rundown. World famous Phil Henry Show coming back with Frank Gray. Frank's going to talk with us about Jim Furyk and his 58. Man, that was
that's a big record in the PGA.
Big PGA record, Jim Furyk.
World famous Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico in Southern California, yeah.
Guys, the backstage pass is your way to freedom, your way to joy, your way to, well, your way, man. You can have it your way. You can have it our way at Burger King.
The backstage pass for 1 year gives you all of the archives of the Phil Henry Show, 20,000 plus hours, a daily podcast. You also get a daily classic hour. You also get on the Saturdays, the replay of our chat. You got Saturday Cinema. You also have Elcott, The Next Step. Now, we are underway here with an operational change that will be sometime, not too long, but once we come out the other end, if you'll pardon the expression, it's going to be beautiful.
So sign up right now for a backstage pass and be a part of the next generation of the world-famous Phil Henry Show family. From me to you, from us to me.
And from you to him.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Zach Wilde, I like that.
Zach Wilde and Lost Prayer. Now here's this is some heavy metal that I can.
This is heavy metal. This sounds more like it's a country and western.
No.
But talk about it, Senator.
I'll talk a little bit about it. We have had an operational change here at the Phil Henry Show. And I was talking to, I talked to our BSPs before the show started, and as we move along, it's going to be, we'll get back up to speed. So if we're a little late in responding to you on the website, if we're a little late in responding just in general, in terms of our social media and our contact with you, please don't
despair.
Yeah, don't despair.
We will be right there for you.
We'll be right there for you.
And sit tight.
Sit tight.
It's going to be all right.
Saturday night.
Be all right. Never mind about that. So, yeah. I wanted to just mention thank you all for being with us on Friday night. Friday night at the Hollywood Improv, Phil Henry and Friends. Man, what a beautiful night.
Now it's all sold out and everything.
Yeah, that was quite a wonderful crowd.
Yeah, it was a good show. Jimmy Pardo came out of the gate. Eliza Schlesinger, those two are like just rockets firing out of the cannon. And then we had Gary Huck, who's a hysterical dude from Chicago. We met Matt Knutson, who wrapped our show up, funny as hell. Emily Maya Mills, Solomon Giorgio, and then there was some guy up there with a beard and kind of bald and walking around doing voices, and that was...
That was you, Mr. Henry.
That was me.
Now, I came in late. What was that? There was one character that you were doing.
His name is Roy Hardbird.
That was this Roy Hardbird, guys. Sounds like some shuffling, mumbling Jesus.
Yeah, it was a character who is out in Hollywood and comes from...
That's it. He comes from downwind Nebraska.
Well, what are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. I don't think it's funny at all.
I'm laughing at that.
What is downwind Nebraska? Oh, that's right. The guy comes from a town that was named after a great-grandfather of his that stuck to high heaven because the guy got... He got... What is the deal?
Because a large septic tank opened up on him.
Yeah, sure. That happens all the time.
Maybe at your house.
Maybe at my house. You, hey! Come on, break it up, break it up, break it up.
All right, let's head on out, man, to Cromwell, Connecticut, where Frank Gray is going to be catching a plane here a little bit later on. Coming back to California, Frank Gray was out there for the Travelers and Jim Furyk with a 58. Frank, I know we're not necessarily going to be talking here about the tournament itself, although if you want to give us an update, you are certainly welcome to, but quite a round of golf, huh?
Well, Phil, it was an exciting day for Jim Furyk. The final round of the Travelers in Cromwell, Connecticut, as she posted a 58, which is the lowest round of golf in the history of the Professional Golfing Association. A 58 is almost impossible, but get this, Furyk, she had a 59 when she played in the 2013 BMW Championship. A tournament record 27 on the front nine by Furyk stirred up those memories. So people were expecting it.
So nobody was, once he had that front nine at 27, huh? Everybody thought it was on its way?
Yeah, when they saw her shoot that, and I was talking to her wife, Marilyn, and he was telling me that, she had a good night's sleep. Both he and she woke up feeling refreshed. Didn't think it was going to be anything special. Jim Furyk, 46 years of age, about 4 years away from playing on a championship, and I'm starting to get into kind of a...
Yeah, you're getting sing-songy.
Sorry. Jim Furyk, 46, she's about ready to start to play in the Champions Tour, and so she probably thinks that she's ready to pack it in. It's no big deal. She had a good career, not a great one. She'll never be the big thing that she hopes she'd be. Like, for instance, when you take a look at, Phil Mickelson and how she wrapped things up, she'd rather be her, but she's not. So,
you all right?
I'm perfectly fine. So I talked to Marilyn, and he told me that she was had a good night's sleep, and he thought he'd go downstairs and get her a Danish and a cup of coffee, and he told me that she's generally restless before she plays in a big tournament, but he told me that as a husband and as a father, she's very, very attentive and was thinking about the kids, and as a wife, of course, he can only support what she's doing, and so he got into a... pair of go-go boots.
Uh-huh.
He got into a pair of go-go boots and a short skirt, and he walked on down to the tournament while she did a few push-ups, and she, of course, stood there near a bush and took a leak, and then she put it back in and zipped up.
You know, Gray, you need more than a doctor. I think you need a medical doctor, and you need an anthropologist to reorient you as a Western human being.
Oh, my God. I've never been insulted in quite such an obtuse, and yet... Oh, shit.
Frank, you know, we gotta get you back to Dr. Seuss.
Oh, my ass. She can't do a thing, all right?
You know that he's the one that diagnosed you originally with the gender confusion.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm telling you. She just wants the money.
Frank, you do confuse genders.
What is that supposed to mean, I confuse genders?
Am I a he or a she?
You're a she.
Yeah, see? He's not.
Did you hear that? You're calling him a fool. And
I can't have that.
You know what, Frank? Get on the phone and,
Hold up, Frank. We had to put you on hold. Yes. Phil's very angry, and he's not... He said he's not having it. What? He's not having it. What? Who? Why? You?
Give me the phone, will you, Margaret, for God's sake?
I don't know.
Frank. Listen, buddy. You know, all right, I won't bring it up anymore, okay? Frank, you there?
Hold on for a minute. I'm talking to the valet. She's bringing the car around. What do you want?
I said... I'm sorry that we put you on hold.
You put me on hold? I wasn't aware of that. I was getting the car.
So in other words, you didn't hear anything?
I didn't hear anything, no. I didn't know what you people are doing. You're sitting there yanking it. Who knows? In the car, yeah, the Cadillac. Yes, I'm old school, okay, you Filipino.
Frank, darling, don't embarrass us that way.
Well, I'm not trying to embarrass. I'm talking to you clowns. Forget it, man.
Frank Gray, folks, from the Travelers, right?
From the Travelers tournament, where Jim Furyk shot a 58 in the final round, the lowest round of golf in the history of the PGA, like anybody cares, because I don't. This is Frank Gray reporting for the Phil Hendry Show, and remember that Phil will be... She was at the Hollywood Improv on Friday. I'm sorry, Phil. I thought it was this coming. No, Phil and her friends were at the Hollywood Improv on Friday.
All right, man, see ya.
Bye.
You know that? He's losing it slowly but surely.
Frank, there's nothing wrong with Frank Gray that I think a CAT scan and...
Yeah, CAT scan.
CAT scan? What that guy needs is to have his brain lifted out of his skull, examined, and then put back into his head when he isn't looking.
Aren't you funny? I'm gonna...
Hey, coming at me, huh?
Hey,
break it up, man. I have a fight between you two guys.
Well, that's one you won't survive.
Heard that.
All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Hendry Show here in a moment. World-famous Phil Hendry Show this Monday, man. What a day. What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in lust. Coming up, we'll talk about the Olympics on the Phil Hendry Show. That's the Olympics. Table tennis, is that it?
Yeah, very interesting table tennis competitions.
With Bud Dickman, and we also have Jack Armstrong. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jericho Shorts and Hats. For the 15th year, Jericho's is sponsoring the Jericho Shorts and Hats Ball Toss. Jericho's Shorts and Hats. For the 15th straight year, Jericho's is sponsoring the International Ball Toss Competition. Walking down the street, Jericho's Shorts and Hats bring you this portion of the Phil Hendry Show. If you're looking for a hat and a pair of shorts, and that's all you want to wear, come to Jericho's Hats and Shorts, Pacific Coast Highway, sponsoring this segment of the Phil Hendry Show. And now the segment that it was sponsoring is over. We're not sponsoring that segment anymore. Jericho's Shorts and Hats. Hats and shorts. All you want to wear, come to Jericho's. Jericho's Hats and Shorts, Pacific Coast Highway. Daggum.
Bud Dickman here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So they had a table tennis in the Olympics. And just a rundown on it. The Iranians were really good, and it was very interesting to see the Iranians play the American.
Do you remember the players' names?
I don't know.
You don't remember the players? You know, it was Iran and America.
Yeah, it was Iran and America, and
I guess America won?
No, Iran did.
What? What are you telling me? They got time over there to play ping pong?
Yeah, apparently the Iranians have more time to play ping pong than anybody.
But I got a lot of leisure time.
That's not why they play ping pong well.
Yeah, you tell me why, then. If you have a lot of leisure time and you can just kick it, first thing you're going to do is go paddle it. That's what they say, and I'm right. I'm not trying to be funny.
Don't you? If you're telling me...
You said paddle it. Does that mean that they're out?
No, that's what they called it in Iran.
That's what they called it in Iran, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently in Iran, they go to paddle it.
and they'll go out and paddle, you know.
Down, you know, it's like they're made up a song. I'm, you know, paddle in the morning, paddle in the evening, I'll paddle all over the day. Forget it, man.
Well, Dickman, you sound like about 16 miles of an asshole in search of a wipe.
So let me see if I have got you right here.
Forget it.
No, not forget it. Sit down, bud.
I don't do it anymore.
Man, what a big baby.
You're telling me that the Iranians call ping pong paddling it.
No, they call it ping pong or table tennis, but they'll say, you want to go paddle it.
They'll say, do you want to go paddle it?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Bud, that there's no reason to behave that way.
I'm getting sick and tired.
There's no reason. Now, if the Iranians say, do you want to go paddle it, then what do you do?
Go get a paddle.
Yeah, if the Iranians tell you to paddle it, friend, you don't say no to that.
What a dickhead.
All right, sit down. Who else?
Portuguese, they...
what do they call it in Portugal?
They call it ping pong, or no, they call it table tennis. The only country that calls it ping pong, and they'll say, because of the leisure time that they have, do you want to paddle it? All right,
bud, I'm not trying to laugh at you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were.
All right, I'm sorry, but I have a read on this thing. I think the Iranians are good at table tennis because table tennis, not because they have a lot of leisure time to go, quote, paddle it.
What are you laughing at?
Well, what do you think?
Dee, all I tried to do was report on the paddle. And
on ping pong, I think you're getting off on this.
What?
What I'm saying, bud, is the following thing. When I think the Iranians and countries like that are doing very well at table tennis because it's not an expense, not a lot of overhead. There's not a lot of space. There's not a lot of, in terms of equipment, there's not a lot that's needed. It's not a very difficult sport to field players in, to have them practice. You don't need lots of space, lots of equipment, lots of people. And I think that countries like in the Far East, I guess it was China and Korea, those are the two countries that pioneered their brilliance at table tennis. There's so many other sports here in the United States that we can afford, our athletes can afford to train in, that there's lots of space, lots of money, lots of training facilities.
Well, so you're saying they can afford it.
Well, how much do you think a ping pong paddle costs? You want to be the sponsor of the, I bet you to be the sponsor of the Iranian ping pong team, it probably costs about $50. What are you laughing at?
$50?
Yeah, well, how much do you think it would cost, Phil?
I bet cost in the thousands, at least. I mean, you got to travel. You have the players' equipment, players' uniforms. You know,
in the thousands?
If you're traveling internationally, how much do you think it costs to have the Iranian players travel all the way to South America to play in ping pong or whatever the hell they call it?
It's called table tennis.
Sorry.
I don't know, and I wouldn't give a sweet Jesus. I could only...
No, how much? Come on, man. If you got how many people are on the Iranian team?
They only need, like, two, maybe two.
Why two?
You only to play each other. I'm going to kick your...
Phil, kick your ass.
Well, what do you think?
Well, they're probably on the team. You don't need more than that. They can practice by just playing against each other.
Yeah. All right, well, even if they only had two, that means round-trip airfare, money, lodgings, per diem, all that stuff for a couple of guys. It's got to be in the thousands.
Right, it's in the thousands, but, I mean, what are you talking about? Like 5 Gs?
No, come on, man. Round-trip air... It just going everywhere in the world. What am I talking about, man? This is a sport, ping pong. Who sponsors that in Iran?
Well, I mean, they might have a company over there.
Yeah, they probably would have a, or I'm not going to say.
Don't do any camel jokes, or I swear to God, I'll come down on you like a ton of lead.
I don't know.
All right, well, let's just say they have a sponsor over in Iran, okay? Like,
like hijabs.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Benny's Hijabs, sponsoring the Iranian ping pong team. What a load to have.
I'm trying to come up with some sensible and not ridiculous ideas.
We don't have to. Just the fact is, they got a sponsor, and that guy can worry about that. I don't know. I don't even know if Iran engages in that kind of thing. I know that they have private enterprise in that country. If they have got corporate sponsorship money for their ping pong team, I don't know. It's well beyond me. Hey, folks, this is very, very good of you to join us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show today. As I said, we are going through some changes here. So if we're a little bit slow to respond to you on our website or online anywhere, whether it be Twitter, at Facebook, at our Facebook fan page, on Instagram, Snapchat, any places like that, know that we'll get back up to speed as we make these changes. But we will be here every day. We're also on chat on our website. If you're a Backstage Pass member, we'll be in touch with you guys a lot more than other folks. But we're here, baby. Ain't nothing...
You're not sick or anything.
No.
Right. People were worried.
No. I'm feeling fine. It's all right. And it's all good. I'm just saying that this is how the world turns sometimes, my fine feathered friends.
The world famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Hope Sky Baby's okay.
Oh, that's right. It sounded like Sky Baby, like it was out of control from the beginning of the report.